Good morning. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. So happy to have you with us. It's a little chilly out there, getting up, getting out the door, about 30 degrees. Doesn't feel like spring. Josh Wheeler at the helm. I'm Susie Jones. Josh, how's it going there this morning? Yeah?
It's going good.
Okay.
Love the new studio. Well, the same studio, but newer.
I was telling my guest this morning in studio, we're going to the new studio. I mean, the new old studio.
Yeah, basically. I mean, this is spacious here.
Yeah,
anybody that's seen this station knows there's a lot of clutter, and there's no longer a lot of clutter.
Yep, they cleaned it up.
Yeah.
Love it. So we, this hour, are going to talk about fentanyl. And it's something you hear about a lot in the news. It's not like lung disease or heart disease. We're talking about another kind of disease, which is for real. And it is addiction. And the drug that we're talking primarily about this hour is fentanyl, because we've heard in the news horrific stories of young people overdosing and dying when they think maybe they're going online, whether it's Snapchat or Insta or any of the online platforms that the kids these days, or any one of us, goes online. They think they're maybe getting a Percocet or maybe an Oxy. Or I saw a show on TV last night called The Pulse about an emergency room, or maybe it was The Pit, where a kid had bought what he thought was Adderall for all of his friends to study for finals, and it was laced with fentanyl. And in this particular show, he died. But people are dying for real, not only on TV. So I'm really happy to have in studio. It's rare we get people in studio, because Sunday morning at 7 is kind of a hard time to coerce people in. But here they are. Michelle Hine is chairwoman of the Fentanyl Free Communities Foundation. Leah Gleason is with the Fentanyl Free Communities Foundations, and she is the community events and speakers bureau coordinator. She's also in recovery from fentanyl right now. And Veronica Stake, she is a licensed alcohol and addiction counselor, drug counselor, and an addict, and a recovering alcoholic and addict. So let me just start by saying to you, Michelle, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
And to Leah.
Thank you.
And to Veronica.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with Michelle. Michelle, tell the listeners this morning how you ended up starting Fentanyl Free Communities Foundation just a little more than a year ago.
So February of 23, actually Paul Ostro and myself started this foundation. I'll cover Paul a little bit more later, but it all came out of we lost our son in July of 2020 to a single fentanyl pill. He bought as a Percocet, and it was a counterfeit pill that was 100% fentanyl. Oh. And he had been in recovery for 4 months and took the pill and died that evening. Paul had prosecuted. He was a prosecutor in Anoka County and had prosecuted many, many, many fentanyl cases over the years. And he wanted to do something powerful in retirement. And this is what he wanted to do. He wanted to fight the fentanyl crisis for Minnesotans. And so he reached out to me, and we got together, and we never looked back.
Ah, that's marvelous. And to let our listeners know, there's a gala coming up on April 25th. You could say it for
me. Oh, okay.
You can answer my...
Yeah, and we are fortunate to have Susie as our MC this year.
I am.
So excited.
And this is... well, I don't know if you guys, Leah and Veronica, know, but Michelle knows I'm an addict myself. I'm a recovering alcoholic. And it's hard to read this stuff in the news, you know. And we've gone to press conferences. What's her name? Bridget Mitchell? No, Bridget.
Noring.
Noring. Mm-hmm. Her son, similar. She was with Amy Klobuchar at the U.S. Judiciary Committee meeting, yes, working on it. But there's a lot of effort underway to stop this, I don't know. It's such a complicated issue, isn't it?
It's very complicated. Addiction, substance use disorder, is very complicated, as we all know. Mm. Unfortunately, almost five years ago, we did not know what the word fentanyl was. We didn't even know what that was until 7 months before our son died. So our goal is to make sure it's a household... The F word is a household word, right? Because... I'm not saying Tyler would still be here, but at least we would have maybe had different approach to helping him in his recovering and understanding that relapse now can mean immediate death. Not just, oh, I'm relapsing for a while until I decide to go to recovery again or treatment again to work on my recovery. So we want to make sure everyone knows what fentanyl is. And there are so many warrior mamas like me out there in Minnesota and all over the country doing exactly this. And that's what we're called to do now because we don't want anyone else to die from this.
No, no. Well, I want to ask you, Leah, your story, if you don't mind, you're here. I hope you don't mind sharing. Yeah. When did you first try fentanyl? Or was it on purpose or accident?
It was on purpose. Yeah, I was in active addiction for about 19 years of my life. And I would say about 10 years ago now was probably the first time that we as in me and the father of my children, started using fentanyl. We were into prescription opioids, Percocet, Xanax, all the things. And then eventually that just became not enough, you know, and so we were seeking more potent, you know, substances, and we came across fentanyl.
And it was the ticket.
That was the ticket. That's what we thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if anyone knows, I mean, you do take fentanyl with a doctor in a controlled environment. You know, like when I had a colonoscopy and he said, okay, we're going to give you fentanyl. I'm like, okay. Because, you know, I'm, you know, like a drug addict. I'm like, yeah, I'll have fentanyl. But it's a good high. I mean, not to glower for it, but I mean, it's a terrible thing. But you do understand the pull of that one in terms of being an addict.
Yeah, it was definitely an escape from reality that I wanted more of. Absolutely.
So we're going to talk about what happened and what it's like now. And then we'll also visit with Veronica after this on News Talk 830 WCCO. Back, we are talking all things health as we do every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. on this April 6th. I'm Susie Jones. Josh Wheeler is at the helm, and we have three special guests in studio, and we're talking about fentanyl and, more importantly, fentanyl-free communities and the Fentanyl Free Communities Foundation. And before we took the break, we were talking to Leah Gleason. She is in recovery from fentanyl about that point at which it doesn't work anymore, where you're getting high from fentanyl, you and your children's father. And what went wrong for you guys? How did it come to pass that you got into recovery?
Well, the reality of the disease of addiction is life and death. We have a kind of a phrase in our recovery readings, jails, institutions, and death. That's the end game for the disease of addiction. And I knew recovery was possible. I just had to seek it out, right? And so I made the decision I didn't want to die, and that's what it was coming to.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Isaac had always, you know, joked about death was getting closer to us, and it kept getting closer to us. And eventually it was going to be us, you know, and I just decided I didn't want to live that life anymore, and I put myself in a faith-based sober living program in my hometown of Cambridge, and I never looked back.
Wow, good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're talking, it's sort of like the umbrella of addiction, but I always wonder myself, as a recovering person from alcohol, is it harder to recover from fentanyl than it would be from alcohol, or would you characterize it as sort of similar?
I mean, both.
Yeah.
You know, it's similar and different, right? The avenues of the pathways to recovery would be different, and I don't want to minimize a different substance.
Sure.
But absolutely, part of the reason why we had used fentanyl for so long is because we thought we were going to die if we didn't take it. That's how addicted we became, you know, the physical and psychological connection to it. You know, we thought we couldn't live without it.
Yeah, isn't that awful?
It is.
How did you end up with Michelle?
So I met Michelle just over a year ago, I believe. I was actually going to support a friend while he was speaking at one of the events, and I believe it was BRAM, a One Pill Can Kill event, and Michelle had a resource table there, and it's bright and bold, Fentanyl Free Communities Foundation, and I'm like, I need to go talk to this girl and tell her I'm in recovery from fentanyl, and I want, how can I get involved? And so I kind of just walked up to the table.
We haven't let her go yet.
I introduced myself, and it's been a wrap since.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. And and that's what you do. You go around the state, Michelle, and you say one pill can kill, and no kidding. For 100%, we're not making it up. It's not a little pretend phrase. It really is true.
That is our goal, to get into every community in Minnesota so everyone knows what fentanyl is.
So do you go and talk at schools, at churches, at Rotary?
Yeah, do it all.
Whatever.
Yeah, wherever and whenever we get a call. And mm-hmm. in the first year, we were making those calls, knocking on doors, and I haven't had to do any of that in the last year.
Because people know you're here, and great.
And they want it. They want the information.
Heck yeah. Like you said, you didn't know what fentanyl was before. Veronica Stake, also here, a licensed alcohol and drug counselor and a person in recovery. How did you come to Fentanyl Free Communities?
Leah. I met in this world of recovery.
Yeah.
And I think my advice to her was, meeting makers make it. And now she's here.
Nice.
I'll never forget that day.
Yeah, she came walking through doors of an appropriate place to go when you're trying to save your life. And it's free. Woohoo. Yeah. And
you can usually get a cup of coffee.
Yep, free coffee. And sometimes there's even treats.
Oh, I know it.
But I was there celebrating another milestone, and she was celebrating her beginning milestone.
Yeah, 30 days.
And it was a beautiful meeting for her and I, besides being at a meeting, because meeting makers make it. And that's my push. That's what I push today, because all of this stuff is killers, because we don't know who's tampering, what's being tampered with, because it's everything can be tampered with, as Michelle is shared with us also, an unfortunate situation. But that's the whole thing, is recovery's possible. Don't know if you can come back and resume a new recovery. And that's how dangerous and scary it is out there. And fentanyl is the high number one at this moment in life. And we need to make recovery attractive and help them and hold their hand and keep them alive.
Attraction rather than promotion.
It's definitely that. And, you know, I always tell I work in the field of addiction. And I always tell the clients that, you know, we can all go out and use again, but we don't know if we can come back.
Right.
And that is... This is jails, institutions, or death. Cunning, baffling, and powerful.
Yeah. Yep.
Those are key words. And you know, it takes time for them to figure that stuff out, because we are in a fog and a daze because of this toxic chemicals that have polluted our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important to understand, that you're polluted. And, you stop using, and you just keep stop using.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't do it. And...
One day, one minute, one second, one ten minutes.
Just keep not using.
Yeah. And go to bed early.
No.
Yes.
And that's my goal, to keep people alive long enough to get to Veronica, to get with Leah, to get to a meeting, to get to treatment, to get to complete recovery, because fentanyl doesn't discriminate.
Mm-mm.
Absolutely not.
You can be a wealthy, good-looking young man, 20-something, in college, looks like you got the world ahead of you, And one night somebody says, hey, let's use, let's get some Percocet.
Let's party.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's so sad because, like, I was one person that I've heard a lot of the stories. It's a lonely thing for some people, too. Like, it was a young girl, I think she was 16, and she was depressed and wanted to kind of feel better. So she went on Snapchat and got what she thought was a Percocet, took her away. And she was by herself in her bedroom. And her mom went in there, and the next morning, no, there she is dead. And I have my cousin's son, same thing, was depressed, wanted to feel better, took that, and was dead the next day. Unbelievable. We want to let people know, too, if they're listening, they have a comment or a question, because maybe someone that they love is going through something like this, and they want to ask a question. 651-461-9226. That is our text line. So a lot of times people will just text in instead of call because it's a little nicer, a little less scary to do a text than a call. But 651-461-9226. Again, we have in studio with us, which is just a delight, Michelle Hine. She is chairwoman of Fentanyl Free Communities Foundation. Leah Gleason. She is the Community Events and Speakers Bureau Coordinator. She's also in recovery from fentanyl. What's your day?
January 18, 2022.
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, I just celebrated three years.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Woo, woo. And Veronica Stake, a licensed alcohol and drug counselor, also in recovery. What do you have a date?
January 30, 1998.
Fantastic. Yes. That's a long time.
27 years this year.
That's fantastic. And it feels good. So we're going to take our bottom of the hour break. If people have questions or comments, they can jump in. So, and I want to get back to Michelle to talk about what you do, what Fentanyl Free Communities Foundation does, and a little more on the recovery can be fun. Your life can be grand sober. I can speak to that. As people know, my friends will often say that I look like the drunk one because I like to dance. And I don't care if
it's possible to do that.
It is. Stone cold sober.
That's right.
All right. It is 7:30 on Newstalk 830 WCCO. We'll do a little weather, some commercials, and then we'll be back. Remember, if you have a comment, 651-461-9226. Be right back. And we are back for the second half of the program, our health hour. This week we're talking about fentanyl. Now, someone just texted in or called in, I think, right, Josh? Yep. And you can tell me how they told me to say...
Supposedly, it is pronounced fentanyl.
Fentanyl.
And that fentanyl is completely different. I don't know. I'm not a medical expert. My mom is a doctor, so maybe I can ask her, but I'm not the expert.
Well, our guest, Michelle Hine, is kind of shaking her head. I've actually been called out on this before from Adam Carter. Used to say I said it wrong. Let's see. Michelle, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, good, good. Never mind. You're great. Okay. Oh, I know why. Because you're here, but then you're there. Whatever. Okay. We're fine. We got a lot of mics in the studio.
Yeah, that one's way over there. This is not radio for the listening audience. But yeah, the mic is swung way over there.
Got it.
Okay. Fine. Fentanyl.
So I haven't called it anything other than fentanyl. Well, I have, but I can't say it on the air. we'll have to look into that. What do you think?
I haven't heard fentanyl. Maybe they were thinking of car fentanyl, but I've always called it fentanyl.
Okay. Same?
Fentanyl.
All right. We're not going to talk about how to pronounce fentanyl because it's really beside the point.
Yeah, I agree.
I was asking, and you really can join us if you want. I mean, we're getting a few snarky texts, but that's fine. 651-461-9226. Like, I didn't say the text right away. Sorry, because we're in the middle of a really good conversation. So the person wants to know about a Percocet. Why would a dealer lace it with fentanyl knowing... I guess why not another drug? I mean, why they obviously know what they're doing because it's all about addiction and getting their customers all lined up and being addicts, right?
So first of all, I want to clarify that Percocet, Adderall, Xanax, any legally prescribed drug is never laced with fentanyl. When somebody says, I got a Percocet and it was laced with fentanyl, or he got a Percocet and it was laced with fentanyl, he got a counterfeit pill sold or given as a Percocet that was fentanyl.
Yes.
Thank you for clarifying.
Absolutely.
It's
Absolutely.
Really, really important that we make sure the narrative is correct on that. We hear the media say it all the time, just like when the media says a 18-month-old baby overdosed on fentanyl. They didn't overdose. They were poisoned. Absolutely. Babies don't overdose.
How important is, I know we're talking about raising awareness, going and speaking about one pill can kill. How important is increased penalties? How important is that to the, do you include that in the work you're doing?
So our main three pillars of our organization are raising awareness, educating the public on fentanyl and how easy it is to access and how deadly it is. And we have a policy arm as well. We have a policy committee of very strong public servants here in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. And 2 years ago, well, I want to say 6-7 years ago, people were trying to get the penalties for fentanyl to at least equal that of heroin.
Mm.
And that happened in 2023 because of a lot of people's efforts. And it is very important. We do support law enforcement. We are members of PARI, Police Assisted Addiction and Recovery Initiative, because it takes all arms. We can't, you know, people say, well, locking them up and throwing away the key, that's not going to solve the problem. It's not, but there has to be some pulling these people off the streets for, typically it's a limited amount of time to try to help, if they're using, help them get sober and be productive members of society when they come back out and not continue to peddle this poison.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, we at Fentanyl Free Communities, we 100% support
stricter penalties.
Stricter penalties.
Yeah.
But right. We also support recovery and you know, assisting them with their initiatives to get to recovery if that's what they need.
Sure.
So you need to cover all bases.
Yeah.
It takes every avenue to battle this scourge.
Yeah. Is it something that is, it's predominantly young people?
They say that fentanyl is the number one killer of people ages 18 to 45 now. But in my neck of the woods, I was going over a report with the county sheriff 6-8 months ago, trying to figure out where we should be holding events in that area. And he was able to read gender, age, and city to me. And all of a sudden, he's like 55, female, Rush City, 49, male. And he did this for, and there were a couple 17, 18, 20-year-olds in there, but most of them were older. He said, Michelle, I'm just made a liar out of you because these are all older than 45.
Mm.
Well, we're finding that maybe the people that are casual cocaine users once a year, on the week, whatever it might be, they're getting something that has fentanyl in it, and they're gone. Also, opioids are still killing people. The prescription opioids, if you're not taking them right or you're taking too much, like Leah said, I had to go to fentanyl. I wasn't getting high anymore off the opioids, right?
Yeah.
And that will kill you as well. So the DEA reports 18 to 45 is the population that's being killed by fentanyl mostly.
Someone just texted in, wondered about speaking at a senior citizen center.
I think that's great. I think senior centers also need to have Narcan on hand. Not because the ladies and men are going out and doing cocaine, but if their prescription opioids are not monitored and distributed to them, and they might forget if they took it, that they could overdose.
Yeah. Is Narcan a part of the work you do too?
Yeah, yep. We get hand out free Narcan and fentanyl test strips.
Okay. Now, let's ask the recovery friends in the room. I mean, it's been a while since I've been out there, but do you think an addict is thoughtful enough to use a strip before they use?
Actually, I worked at a methadone clinic, and there were people, because we also handed out Narcan kits, clean needles, things of that sort. So there are people, you know, being aware, you know, awareness is, I wanted to mention that Michelle said awareness. We have been sitting on the sidelines so long, and then we give you awareness. We encourage you to seek out information. Don't listen to the person next to you, because we all hear things differently. Mm. So when you're guided to go check out this, that, and the other thing, where the information is, take the time. People are worth every minute of your time to save their life, because we have a toxic cesspool out there. And, you know, fentanyl's the top of the list. I've been doing this for a long time in treatment centers. And, you know, it started out with alcohol.
Yeah.
It's the longest running recovery meeting out there that has been effective in a positive way. Now, and then we had NA come along and ask AA if they could utilize their system for these meetings, and it's been successful. And it's, you know, that's, we're at a, right now there's a, the NA, MINAC it's called, Minnesota Narcotics Anonymous Conference is going on. It ends today, noonish, but all weekend long, it's been there sharing our stories, our strength, our hope, and that it's possible. Because this stuff twists our mind and gets us so sick if we live through it. And then we say we don't want to do it anymore. Then we go and we seek help. And it's hard. But it's a simple program if you take the time to educate yourself and feed yourself new information and take care of your body and your mind and your soul, and not alone. Because we end up getting in a box and get polluted and sick. And we're having people die because somebody keeps up in the ante of what can kill you fastest. And that's how it's gone. Alcohol, that stuff could go forever before you got help, because it took some time to wear on your body and it was legal. We have other stuff going on there. Fentanyl is legal too, but under some control in a hospital for a purpose. And that's where we've gotten lost. There's, you know, it's crossed the line. Mm. Line's been crossed.
Yeah.
So those fentanyl test strips do save lives, and I do have to give another nonprofit kudos that run a report every year, because they hand out a lot of fentanyl test strips. Steve Rumler, Hope Network. Mm-hmm. I believe I read the report of people who use illicit drugs want to know what's in their drugs, so they are using those fentanyl test strips, and I think those in the throes of active addiction continue to ingest it if they don't see that there's fentanyl in that drug. But there was a high percentage that would not use the drug when fentanyl was presented in it.
Wow.
So they do use those fentanyl test strips.
Good to know. Say, we're going to take our last break of the hour. It is 7:40, almost 7:45 here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Again, we're talking about Fentanyl Free Communities Foundation, a nonprofit, just a little more than one year old. We're talking about fentanyl, and it can kill you. One pill can kill. 651-461-9226 if you would like to jump in and add a comment or a question. We're here for you at 651-461-9226. We're back after this. And we are back. It is 10 minutes before 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I'm Susie Jones. Really grateful to have you with us today. And we mentioned the phone number, 651-461-9226. I will ask this of the crew here this morning. A person wonders about the strip,
fentanyl test strip.
The test strip. Can a test strip be used for marijuana? Anyone know that? Yes, no? And does marijuana, have you heard of marijuana being laced with fentanyl?
So that's two really hard questions. Marijuana is being laced with fentanyl, but there's a lot of controversy around that because of the flashpoint, how you're heating up, you have to heat up the marijuana. But we do have reports that people have been affected with fentanyl-laced marijuana.
Okay.
The other question, the fentanyl test strips, you have to add water to the substance to get it to be able to be tested.
Okay.
So
okay.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
But don't quote me on that.
Okay. Well, we've got the last segment, so I want to just sort of reset the table here and remind people, if you're just jumping in, we're talking about fentanyl, and Michelle Hine is with us. She's the chairwoman of Fentanyl Free Communities Foundation. Started just a little over a year ago after her son took a pill and died. Also, Leah Gleason with us. She is the Community Events and Speakers Bureau Coordinator with Fentanyl Free Communities Foundation. She's also in recovery, sharing her story of strength and hope. And Veronica State, a licensed alcohol and drug counselor. And we're all here just to get the word out about the dangers of fentanyl. One pill can kill. And we've got just a couple of minutes left of this hour. And maybe just kind of sum it up. You've got the gala coming up, second annual. You did it. This year you're asking me to do it.
Yes.
And I'm grateful and honored. Talk about that and how it's been this year getting organized and the outpouring of support you've seen.
Yeah, I have two great gala co-chairs that do all the hard work. So that's been very, very that's been a blessing for me because I'm so busy doing the community events and organizing those. But the outpouring of support really tells me that people want to know what's going on. They want to help save lives. They want to be part of our mission because people are just good, right? And for a lot of the people that have seen what we've gone through, their heart breaks for us. And they want to understand, and they come to the gala, they hear what we're saying, or any community event we have, and then we're giving people permission to go out and say it. It's hard for a parent to go to a child or a child to go to a parent and have this conversation, but when they come to our community events or come to the gala together and they hear people talking about it, it's okay. It's okay. It's a really bad thing, and we need to make sure, especially young people who are so vulnerable and have seen us as adults pop pills our whole lives, right? It's pill popping society. Take a pill, it'll make you feel better. Take a pill, it'll make you feel better until you're dead. So, FFC has been a godsend for me. It gets me out of bed in the morning. I don't stay curled up in a fetal position sucking my thumb. Okay, I never did that. I never would. But it'd be really easy to go there because once you've lost somebody like Leah and I have, there's no going back.
Leah, your thoughts as we wrap it up. Who did you lose?
I actually lost Isaac, the father of my kids.
Oh.
He passed away the morning after my 1 year of recovery.
Oh. Did he take a pill that was laced? Obviously.
The story is quite complicated, but, yeah, he overdosed.
I'm so sorry.
The autopsy said methamphetamine and fentanyl.
So. Yeah, yeah. It's tough, and it's out there, man. It's killing people like wildfire.
Yeah.
And to you, Veronica? I don't mean to put you on the spot. I just sort of want to wrap this up a little.
I was with Leah when she was going through that experience, and it was, grief is the worst part about this whole thing. And I have lost clients in my decades of working in this field of recovery as a licensed alcohol drug counselor. I never, ever, I wanted to save them all, and I thought I was going to, and I've had loss. I've had very close loved ones overdose and survive, and then I'm so grateful, and then I have to endure the people who didn't survive, and I'm grateful to be there to support them because I've had a lot of death in this journey I've been on. I mean, my soulmate, not necessarily. We got into recovery. Health issues happen. That's the other part of this that we don't like to talk about. There's mental health we don't want to talk about. And then we have this poison that is out there killing you no matter what is going on in your life. And it's spontaneous. It doesn't say, oh, by the way, here, I'm going to take your life. No, we don't know. And we got to be aware of this stuff and stop thinking that it's all going to be okay to put a poison into our body. It is not okay. It kills us.
Yeah.
One pill does kill.
And fentanyl doesn't have a taste or a smell. I mean, you can't say, whoop, there's fentanyl in it. Can't take that. Mm-hmm. So you got to be very vigilant.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I talked about this a little bit on the phone a while ago, and I was like, well, isn't it about stopping the supply, and what are we going to do here and this? And I think you said, you know, yes, there are a lot of parts of this that are complicated and difficult and need all different levels of attention, but we can do this. We can get the message out that one pill can kill. We can get the message out in community centers or our friends. And you know, that's what I hope happens today. Can vaping products have fentanyl?
Yes.
Good. That's the last question. So thank you, everyone, for being part of it. Sorry, we didn't get a lot of questions, but that's okay because I knew we would just be talking. I felt like we had a good talk.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Susie.
Yeah. Thank you so
and
much
how do
for
we find fentanyl-free communities?
Fentanylfreecommunities.org online.
Okay.
Or you can call the station and ask for my phone number if you really need it.
651-461-9226. We hope you make it a great day. And make sure you say it out loud. One pill can kill. That's all you have to say.
One pill.
Right.
That's it.
All right. Thanks for being with us.